Welcome to Kori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel Perek Lamed Aleph, Chapter 31. Perek Lamed Aleph begins the third perek of the Nevuot about Egypt, and actually the fifth Nevuah, because some of the perekim are divided into more than one Nevuah. And this one begins with a date, Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi ba'achad esrei shana v'shlishi ba'achad l'chodesh hayad dvar Hashem elai le'mor. In the 11th year, and the first day of the month of Sivan, so now we're 2 months after the previous Nevuah and 2 months before the Chorban. So 2 months after that Nevuah about Mitzrayim that we talked about paralleled Yitziyat Mitzrayim. And B'nai Israel are now in a terrible state. Their rebellion is doomed. They've been locked in the walled city of Jerusalem since the siege of the Babylonians for over a year and a half. It's been 6 years since the start of the rebellion, and it's clear now, 2 months before the Chorban, that it's not going to work. There may be yet a glimmer of hope that the Egyptians will swoop in at the last minute and save them, but even that hope is fading fast. Yechezkel's third parak about the fall of Egypt is almost like a nail in the coffin of this hope. The salvation will not come from Egypt. It can only come from yourselves. The structure of the parak is one of a frame story. The first and last psukim are about Egypt, while the rest of the psukim Bet 3 Zion 2 through 17, draw a comparison between Egypt and another country. First, we're going to start off with the frame. That is in Pasuk Bet, where Yechezkel asks a question. Ben Adam, says Hashem to Yechezkel, son of man, Emor el Paro, Melch Mitzrayim, the El Hamono, say to Paro and to all of his multitudes, El mi dimita bigadlecha, who is like you in your strength, in your power, in your greatness? That's the question that's used to form and frame this parak. Which other country, where can we look at in history to find a country that's great and glorious like Egypt? And the answer comes in Pasuk Gimel, and that is going to go on to the rest of the parak, from Gimel to Yud Zayin. And the answer is that there really is only one other country that compares to Egypt in its strength and glory, and that is Ashur, Assyria. So says Yechezkel, the answer in the next Pasuk Gimel, Hine Ashur Erez Balivanon Yefe Anaf, V'choresh Matzal V'gavoa Koma, U'bein Avotayim Haita Tzamarto. Assyria was like a cedar in Lebanon with beautiful branches, and it had such beautiful shade. It was like a forest, its shade, and it was so tall, had such high stature, and the top of the tree was among the thick trees, the boughs of the forest. In this pasuk, Yechezkel compares Assyria, the great empire that conquered the world, including the 10 tribes before it was toppled by Babylonia, and it's compared to the mighty cedar tree. Not only is it strong and beautiful, and not only does it have beautiful leaves and a thick trunk, but, says Pasuk Dalid, Mayim Gedaluhu Tehom Ramam Tuhu, the waters nourished it, and the deep waters made it grow. Al Narota Holich Svivot Mata'a, and the rivers grow around it. It flows around its plantation. And it sends out its channels to all the trees of the field, meaning this tree has its own water source, its own source of nourishment. So it can keep growing and growing. It will never stop growing. It almost reminds you, actually, ironically, of the tree of the first parak of Tehillim, where David talks about the person who learns Torah. He's like a tree planted in water because the water source just never runs out, and therefore this tree is so successful. Yechezkel really paints a very similar picture about Assyria. Assyria as this huge and nourished tree. And then Yechezkel goes on to describe this whole ecosystem that forms around this mighty cedar, that birds build their nest in it and live in their branches. Animals give birth and live under its shade, and nations gather, actually. People come and they build their societies alongside the tree because of all the benefits that the tree gives them. And then Yechezkel describes the surroundings. Arazim lo amamu began Elokim, broshim lo damu etzafotav, armonim lo hayu kaparotav, kol etz began Elokim, lo dama elav biafio. These cedars in the garden of God, they couldn't even hide it. The fir trees were not like its bough. The plane trees were not as its branches, nor was any tree in the garden of God like its beauty. There's other trees that surround this mighty cedar, but they don't cover it because this tree is taller. They don't hide its splendor because this tree is more beautiful than any of the other trees. And says Hashem in Pasuk Tet, Yafa asitiv berov dalotav, I made it beautiful by having all these beautiful branches. All these other trees in Eden were jealous of this beautiful tree in the garden of God. And so now we find out that this tree actually lives in Gan Eden, the garden of God. And the tree is there, obviously great and beautiful, but this tree was so much more beautiful and so much stronger and so much taller that it even stood out from the rest of these beautiful trees. And we're just describing this scenery, this Gan Elokim, this garden of God, how gorgeous it is. And this is the most gorgeous tree. And then something interrupts our picture in Pasuk 10, and the story starts to turn. And now we get an insight into the tree itself. Pasuk Yud, Lachin Kol Amar Hashem Elokim, says Hashem, Yan asher gavata bekoma, vayitein atzamrato el bein avotayim, v'ram levavo begavho. You are so tall, and you tower over the other trees, but something happened to the tree, and it became haughty because of its height. And the tree changes. It's not just tall, it's haughty. It's not just beautiful, it's vain. There's a disconnect between reality and ideology. The tree somehow forgets that it's a tree, that it's an object. It's tall and beautiful because of its seed and because it has a plentiful water source. It's not the originator of its growth and its success. It's just the beneficiary of good fortune. And things start to change for the tree. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. That's Nehu Biad El Goyim, Asoya Selo Kurish O Garashto. Well, someone comes along that's stronger than the tree, and that is a nation, people, which changes the mashal for a minute. We know we're not really talking about a tree in a garden, but a ruthless and domineering nation that conquered the world, but then was itself conquered by a small upstart city-state, Babylonia, that should never really gotten strong enough to overthrow the mighty tree. And this nation comes and cuts him down. Nobody could hurt the tree except somebody that comes with an axe. And this nation breaks his branches, smashes his fruit. No longer does he provide food, shade, or habitat. Slowly the ecosystem erodes, the birds fly away, the animals scamper to find safety elsewhere. And they become a lesson for everybody else not to do what they did. Their downfall is a lesson in hubris. Says Pasuk Yedalid, Laman asher lo yigva, Yigval bakomotam, kol atzemaim, lo yitznu etzamartam, elbein avotayim, lo yamdu aleim begabham, kol shitemaim, ki kulam nitnu lamavet, el eretz tachtit betoch b'nei adam, el yodrebor. None of the other trees should do what this tree did. Don't exalt yourself in your stature. Don't set your tops among higher than the other trees and think that you're so high and mighty. Don't stand up on their heights, even those trees that are planted so close to the water. Because these trees, they're just delivered to death to the lower parts of the earth in the midst of this nation of people who with those go down to the pit. These mighty cedar tree, the Assyrians, are cast into Sheol, the depths of the earth. They're broken by the sword, and any nation that depended on it for sustenance and allied itself with it was also dragged down to Sheol when the tree came crashing down. And this brings us to the last parak, which remember is the frame, because we're really here talking about Egypt. And we asked in Pasuk Bet to Egypt, who are you compared to? Who can I compare you? Says Yechezkel in Pasuk Bet. Elmi dimita bigadlacha, who can I compare you in your stature? And we know that the person, I guess the nation that Yechezkel found to compare them to was Assyria. And now that we've learned so much about Assyria and what caused their downfall, how high they were, how beautiful they were, how great they were, and now how hard they've fallen, how far they've fallen, now we get the answer to our question. Pasuk Yudchet, and now we get to the second part of the frame. El midi mita, kacha bekavod ubegoldel ba'atzei Eden. Who are you equal to in glory and the greatness among the trees of Eden? Hu radata et atzei Eden el eretz tachtit betoch arilim tishgav et chalalei cherev hu paro v'chol hamona ne'um Hashem. You're like this tree, Paro. And just like this tree was so great, you too, Paro, was so great. And just like this tree was brought down to Sheol, was broken down by a nation, its branches were cut off, you too are going to fall down into the depths of the earth, into the pits, and you're going to lie amongst the Arilim, the uncircumcised, the ones who are killed by the sword. And this is Paro and all of his people, says Hashem. You have the same story, Egypt. You think you're stronger than Assyria? Do you think that your success was due to your own physical prowess and mighty stature? You too are going to be dragged down into the depths, broken and forgotten. The technique of this parak is twofold. Number one, it's historical. No one who lived under the Assyrian Empire could ever imagine it falling and just not existing. It was so powerful and it lasted for so long. It just didn't seem possible for it to ever end. It just expanded and expanded with no end until it did. Until Nebuchadnezzar mobilized the Babylonian city-state into a powerhouse and managed to first topple the capital city of Nineveh and ultimately defeat the entire empire. That's how history works. You never think something can happen until it does. And Egypt should not delight in its superiority. The same end will happen to them. And if it can happen to Assyria, it can certainly happen to Egypt. So I think that's this first message of the frame. Egypt, who are you compared to? Tell the whole story of Assyria and then say, you're no better than them. If anything, you're worse, and come back to Egypt at the end. And the second idea of the technique of the parak is religious. Assyria, with all of its strength, cunning, and power, was just a natural object like any other created by Hashem. When Hashem decided to let it live and thrive, it did. Rashi points to the way that the city of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, listened to the rebuke of Yonah and changed their ways as the reason for their merit and the mark of their original humility, that back in the day they were humble, and perhaps, says Rashi, that is a reason why they were allowed to thrive. However, when it became haughty and forgot that it was just a tool in Hashem's hand, as Yeshayahu describes in Parak Yud, Hoy Ashur Shevet Api, Umatehu Biyadam Za'ami, Assyria is just a staff in my hand. And it's an agent of my anger, meaning I allow Assyria to conquer when I want to express my anger against people. And Assyria did not accept this, and instead says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yeshayahu Parak Yud, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ki amar b'koch yadi asiti. I did this myself. Assyria forgot that they're a tool in Hashem's hand, and they think that they actually are conquering and being successful because they're so strong. And at that point, Hashem caused its downfall. And behind this mushel of trees, behind the historical comparison between Egypt and Assyria, really lies another technique that this parak, perhaps a third way that we can understand this parak, and that is that this parak of Tanakh is an allusion, this parak of Yechezkel is an allusion to another parak in Tanakh, and that is clearly the story of Gan Eden. The cedar tree is described over and over as the best tree in the Gan Elohim, Gan Eden, the garden of God, the Garden of Eden. Both stories have water sources in them. Both have beautiful trees and a peaceful ecosystem. And in both, their main character ends up being exiled from their midst. Hil Gershuni points out that both Assyria and Egypt had excellent water sources, the Euphrates and the Nile, and each were a source of strength in the parched Middle East. They, along with Tsor, that we spoke about in the Prakim before Egypt, had a unique topography that brought them strength and great riches. And Hillel Gershuni points out also that it's not just the topography of the countries that is similar to Gan Eden, but the sin as well. The Nachash, the snake, seduces Chava by promising her, "V'nifkechu einechem v'yitem kelokim yodei tov v'ra." If you eat from that tree, your eyes will be open and you can be like God, the knower of good and bad. You can go above your station. You can break boundaries. You don't have to listen to God anymore. You can be like God. In essence, the Nachash appeals to Chava's sense of ga'ava, to her haughtiness. She can be more. And exile, writes Gershuni, allows Adam and Chava to recognize the difference between them and Hashem, to recognize their own powerlessness. Egypt, Tsur, and Mitzrayim all came to a point where they saw themselves as gods, in control of their own destiny, with no need to be subservient and grateful to their creator. They lost their Gan Eden in the same way, through breaking their boundaries, through hubris, through ga'ava. I'd like to add that Yechezkel is not only retelling the story of Gan Eden, but reminding us of the whole purpose of the story of creation as a whole. The first Rashi on Chumash asks the question, why do we need the story of creation? Why do we need Sefer Bereishit? If the Torah is a book of law, it should start from the first law, which is Rosh Chodesh and Sefer Shmot. And Rashi answers by quoting a midrash from Bereishit Rabbah. And Rashi says, "Mishum koch masav higid la'amo latet lahem nachla koyim." Hashem, we have the story of Bereishit because Hashem wanted to tell us that he created the world. And he did it in order to give us this land. If the nations say to the Jews, you are thieves because you stole this land from these seven nations, the whole land belongs to Hashem. He created it. And he gets to give it to whoever he wants to give it to. He gave it to them when he wanted to. And when he wanted to, he took it from them and he gave it to us. Hashem is not just the God of the Jews. Hashem is the God of the whole world. Every nation, every being needs to understand that land, bounty, possessions, everything we have is a gift from Hashem. He is the one who controls it, and he expects us to properly act in order to deserve it. Each nation that Yechezkel names throughout this section lost their claim to their land through their deeds. Tsur, Egypt, and Assyria forgot that they were just a creation, not a god. They were filled with hubris and actively or passively hurt Hashem's beloved Bnei Israel. Nations like this cannot stand and will be cut down by Hashem. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilo Nishmas Barbara Atlas Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.